This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Between God and them. And then God asked them, Adam, where are you? He knew that Eve would have made a mistake, but he called Adam. He said, Adam, where are you? Why do you not want to be in my presence? Why are you hiding? And that's a question which we sometimes can ask ourselves as well. Are we hiding from God? And that God is asking, where are you? Why are you hiding yourself from me? Certain people would have said, okay, God made something. We don't know how long it actually was between the creation and when the serpent came into the picture. And we maybe would have said, why didn't God just leave it and let it go and say, okay, sort out yourself. If you want to live like that, I don't want to be involved anymore. No, God wanted to be involved. God didn't want to walk away. God didn't walk away from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve walked away from God, from his presence. Because God wanted to be with the crown of his creation. It's us. It's us. We are the crown of his creation. And God wants to be with us. He doesn't want to walk away from it. And if we go outside and if we take a look outside and if we see the trees and we see the nature and we see all the people who are made to the image of God, we cannot ignore the existence of God. I've got a theory that the guys who are supporting the theory of the evolution, that they say it must have taken millions and millions of years before we all have a year, they know themselves that that theory is not actually a theory because they cannot prove it. The reason for it is they do not want to recognize God. That's the whole problem. Because if they've got to recognize God, then they've got a problem. Because then they know that there is a God, and God is asking something. God is asking for a relationship with each and every one. God wanted to be with his creation. And it's not a matter of that he just made a promise. He made a covenant. Now, the covenant is something which is very, it's more than just an agreement. An agreement most of the time always has got a clause as well that you can get out. But a covenant is a life agreement. For the rest of your life, you're going into that agreement. A covenant is a legal, it's a life agreement based on God's laws and promises for the people and on the people's faithfulness and obedience of God. So it has got two sides. It has got the laws and promises of God, but it has got the faithfulness and the obedience from our side. And God started with that covenant. In that word covenant, in that Hebrew word, there's also meat is also in it. And how God and Abraham made that covenant, they cut certain animals into pieces. They laid it on the ground, and then they walked through it. And with that, they made a covenant. I don't want to go further on, but you actually can carry on with it. There's a lot of meaning in it, in that word covenant. The first time that God was making a covenant in the Bible, we can read it that he made it with Noah. That was in Genesis 6, verse 18. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your sons, your wife, and your son's wife with you. God made that promise to Noah and said, I'm going to save you from that judgment, because he was going to wipe the whole earth. I'm going to save you. Noah took God's word. First of all, he built the ark. We would have said, you're nuts. It's never rained before. Now you're going to build the ark. And a lot of people would have said, I don't know what happened with that guy. But he did it. He trusted God's word because God made a covenant with him. And then he entered the ark as well. Because it's not raining now. No, you're going in the ark. What are the people saying? And you even invite the people to come along. But no one wants to come along. They all say, you're nuts. But he went. He promised. He went on that promise what God gave to him. And God blessed him. Genesis 9, verses 1. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And then the rainbow. That's also that promise which God made, where he's each and every time showing us of that covenant what he made with Noah. And the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh on the earth. And if we talking about the next one, what the covenant is concerned, that's the one where it's been referred to so many times, is the one between God and Abraham, or Abram at that time. And God makes this a promise, and he said, I'm going to give you a promised land, a land flowing of milk and honey. Many nations and many kings of your descendants are going to stay over there. The King of Kings, Jesus, is also coming out of this covenant. If we take the genealogically of Jesus in Matthew in the beginning, it starts with Abraham. Abraham is the first one. And from there it starts and it carries on with all of them. God also made a promise and said, Sarah is going to have a son. Then you would say, okay, if God gives a promise, then it is 5 minutes, maybe a week, maybe 9 months later, there will be a son. 20 years. 20 years it took before that promise realized. Genesis 17, verses 2 and 4. And I will make my covenant between me and you, that's between God and Abraham, and you will multiply exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him and said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations, which we can read in Matthew. And God is confirming that covenant again with Isaac, the next one who comes. And he says also to Abram over there, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. And God confirms the promise what he's got over there with Isaac. And he says to him, and the Lord appeared to him, that's to Isaac, the same night, and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. Because he was prepared to rely and to put his trust in God, Abraham, to go to a place where God sent him, out of his comfort zone, out of his family, out of all the other people away. He walked away from there. He went to the place where God told him to be. He couldn't build a house over there. He still lived in tents. But he trusted it is going to happen. And then it happened. Isaac carried on with that, also trusting what has been promised to his father. But there's something more. Between Isaac and Rebekah, there were no children. She was barren. But Isaac prayed. He pleaded for 20 years. And then God opened up the womb. Genesis 25, 21. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife, Rebekah, because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And we can see that that covenant which God made with Abraham carried on to Isaac, it carried on to Jacob. And there are many more which we can see in the Old Testament, including the one which he made with Moses on the Mount Sinai, when God was speaking to him. He also said to him in Exodus 19, verses 5, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, again, we can hear it, that God is asking, he is giving, but we've got to obey. Keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. God is continuously reminding the people of the covenant, and he's renewing the covenant. We can see it in the Old Testament on quite a few places. Take Joshua, when he's speaking to the congregation, to the people, to the Israelites, where he says, now therefore, that is Joshua 24, now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Obedience is important. We cannot have foreign gods. We cannot have other things which are going to keep busy if God is asking for his presence, if he's asking for us that we should focus on him, that we cannot focus on other things. And Joshua is reminding them again of what has got to be done. If we want to obey God, we've got to stay away from foreign gods. And God instituted in Moses' time, and we can read it in Leviticus 23, God instituted feasts so that the people continuously would be reminded of him. Because if they wouldn't have been reminded of him, it's the same as when we've got a message reminder on our phone or on our computer. It sends us each and every week, it sends us a message, okay, you've got small group, or you've got this, or you've got that. It's more or less the same what God has been doing with the Israelites. He also gave them a type of a reminder, feasts, so that they were reminded each and every time to think about God, to spend time with God. He gave them seven, the feast of the Lord. The first one is the Sabbath, the day what we are keeping over here as well, the Sunday. That each and every week that we are reminded to stand still and to be reminded again about a God, that there is a God, that we don't forget him. Because if we were not having these type of reminders, 2-3 years down the line, we would have forgotten about it. We would have been without God. We wouldn't have been in his presence anymore. The second one is the Passover, when they were leaving Egypt. The third one is the feast of the first fruit, of the first harvest. 7 weeks later, they will have the feast of the weeks. And then the feast of the trumpets, the feast of the shofars. It's at the new year. And then the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and then he would offer then for the sins of the people. And then the feast of the tabernacles, which were 7 days continuous feast, celebrating the 40 years in desert. So God is putting feasts different times in the year to remind the people, do not forget me. Do not forget me. I want to be in your presence. I want to be in your presence. He asked them to build the tabernacle so that he could be among his people. He asked them to build the temple. And he also told them that they should come to the temple for these feasts, that they could be in contact, that they could be in his presence again. In the New Testament, which actually means New Covenant, God is continuously promising us as well. And the one who's the facilitator, the mediator of the New Covenant is Jesus Christ. And Jesus has already been spoken about in the Old Testament. So under the Old Covenant, we're already speaking about the New Covenant. Today, we're also remembering what God has been doing for us. That's why we are here on a Sunday. And next week when we are going to have communion or the Lord's Supper, we are actually renewing that covenant again with God. We are saying again to God, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. And I want to obey you. I want to follow you. Now those promises between one person who wants to be with another person, there's not a better picture what we've got as what we take a look at a wedding, if you've got two people who want to get married. At the moment, me and Renee are busy with marriage preparation, and we've got two couples who are engaged, and we're doing marriage preparation with them, because it's in their hearts that they want to spend the rest of their life on this earth, or if Jesus is coming beforehand, they want to spend with the other person from both sides. Now they want to get married. And we spend time with them that there is a marriage preparation, that they can prepare for the time when they're going to be in each other's presence continuously. And God wants to that we should also be in his presence, because God wants us that we should be in his presence. And at wedding, there are quite a few things in the New Testament where it is referred to the wedding. First miracle that Jesus did, was in a wedding, changed water into wine. The second one is the parable of the king who invited the people, his friends. He invited them and said, come, there's a wedding, come. And then the people didn't want to come. Then he destroyed them. He wiped them out, the king. And then he invited other people. The first lot did not want to be in his presence, and they were wiped out. The second lot, they wanted to be in his presence. They were prepared to put on the wedding garment, and they could be in his presence. The parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Five of them were prepared to go into the presence of the bridegroom, and five of them were not prepared to go into his presence. Ephesians 5 is also talking about Christ in the church, the wedding. Husbands, Ephesians 5 verses 25 and 20 till 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. If you read this, then we as church are actually busy with marriage preparation. We are getting ready to get married to Jesus as a church. But it says not having any spot or wrinkle or any such things, which means that the things which we are doing incorrect, we've got to have a look at it as congregation, but also in our personal lives. If there are ungodly things, as what we heard with Joshua, that we can get rid of it, that we can focus on God, and that we really have got that eagerness to be in his presence. A last scripture what we can read is out of Revelation, is where John is talking about the marriage or the wedding of the Lamb. Revelation 19 verses 7 to 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed of fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. We are busy with marriage preparation. And when we are ready, we're going to get that white dress, which is the actions, the righteous actions of the saints, the things what God is asking us to do, that we obey his word and that we do what he wants us to do. God wants to be in the presence of his creation. God wants to be in his presence of the people whom he made to his image. And then we can have different looks at it, different angles, but we each and every time come back to the same goal, what God has got. He wants to be in our presence. It's about his presence in our lives. So if somebody is asking you that question about what is God about, then you can say it's about his presence in our lives. God wants to be in our presence. When the time when I'm not quite sure if we can call it dating. I don't think we actually made an appointment to date each other, me and Renee. But there was a time that I wanted to spend time with her. I wanted to be in her presence. And we were going to the same church. And from the announcements, I knew, I think it was on a Wednesday morning, that my mother-in-law-to-be, on a Wednesday morning, was going to be at the Bible study, because the sisters, they had a Bible study that Wednesday morning. And I knew that she, as head of the sisters, she's going to be there as well. And if she's going to be there, then she's not going to be at home. And if Renee, who was on study leave at that time, she's going to be at home. So I just figured it out. Wait a moment. Wednesday morning, I can go and visit her, because my mother-in-law-to-be is not going to be there, and then I can have a cup of coffee with her. I wanted to be in her presence, and I made a plan, and I made sure that I was in her presence. God wants to be in our presence, and he also makes a plan that we can be in his presence. And he sent Jesus to restore what Adam and Eve broken over there. They walked out of the presence of God. But that through Jesus Christ, we can walk into the presence of God again. And we can be with God. God is inviting us. James 4 verses 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, your sinners. And purify your hearts, your double-minded. Doesn't sound that nice, you're double-minded. Comes back again what Joshua said over there. The ungodly things. Things which you've made yourself, get rid of it. Only focus on God. That is eternal life. Purify your hearts. The Greek word for the heart is cardia. And immediately we say, oh yes. It's what we know from medical terms. Cardia is a heart. But in a spiritual part, it means it's our mind. So if we read it again, and purify your mind, you're double-minded. It actually makes more sense. So we've got to think, and we've got to be very critical of what we are allowing in our heads. And what are we allowing, and what are we absorbing, and with whom are we mixing, and what type of programs are we watching? Don't watch the news. It's just about COVID-19. Watch something more constructive, that it's about God, that we can focus on what God wants to do with us. In Matthew, there's also that invitation. Matthew 11, verses 28. Come to me, all who labor and have a heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because that's the other thing, is if we're going into the presence of God, then we can bring the stuff, what is bothering us, we can bring it to him. But first go into the presence of God. That is necessary. Because we cannot just, in the passing by, take a thing, dump it at the cross, and then carry on. Take time. Take time and spend time with God. When I was busy with this sermon, I'm just thinking now, yesterday morning, I was having quiet time as well, and at a certain time, I was laying on the ground and I was crying. Because God was speaking to me, and he was revealing to me about his presence, and how important it is, and how he is looking forward that we should be in his presence, that he is actually so looking forward to that. Ask Renee how she's looking forward to see the grandchildren. It's 100,000 times more than that. That God is looking for us. He's waiting for us. And then I asked God, and I said, Lord, is it for me? Is it only that you're looking for me? Then he says, I'm waiting for all of you. I'm waiting for all of you. And speed up, he said. He said, because the time is getting less. We've got to spend time with it. We've got to make it an important point in our daily lives, that we're going to spend time with God, that we're going to spend time in his presence, that we can start getting used to be in God's presence, because in eternity, we're going to be continuously with him. The beautiful thing about it as well is that God already put something of him in us with the Holy Spirit. So part of God is already present in us. But then again, it depends on our heart. How far are we opening up our heart? How far are we allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts? Or are we going to say, I'll keep the gate closed. I'm not going to allow the Holy Spirit in. Then we are not experiencing God's presence. He won't force himself down. He's a gentleman. But we've got to open up the gates. Like Psalm 24 also says, open up your gates. Open up the ancient gates. The King of Glory can come in. Who is the King of Glory? It's God. He wants to be with us. He wants to be in our presence. There's a covenant between God and between us. It's his love and promises on the one side, and it's the faithfulness and obedience on the other side. God asked Noah, will you trust me? Noah trusted him. God asked Abraham, will you trust me? He said, I will trust you. And like I said, we can see that his name is first in the line to Jesus. God also confirmed the covenant with Abraham, and he grants Isaac the plea, and he says, come in my presence, and I'll give you what you need. I'll give you, maybe not directly, but he's given it. And Rebecca got a child after 20 years. God was speaking to Moses face to face. Moses was in the presence of God. He absorbed it. He was radiating afterwards from God, from the presence of God. Joshua also renewed the covenant and told the people to put away their foreign gods. And God reminded the Israelites to keep the feast so that they were going to spend time with God, that he would give attention and that they will seek presence, his presence. We also spoke about the marriage where people are getting married. They want to be in each other's presence till death departs. That's the promise what they make to each other. That's the vow what they make to each other. What's the covenant what they make to each other till death depart. Today, it's all about his presence. It's about his presence in our lives. It's about God's presence in our lives. And this is where I feel what God wants to speak to us today about. It's about his presence. But as I was preparing the sermon, I felt that there's more in it. It's not about just the presence of God. God wants to do more this afternoon. And then we can think, but we're only a few people over here in the church. God wants to do it. It can do through electronics as well. God can do everything. Which looks impossible for us, it can be done for God. And I'm going to pray just now. And after I prayed, we will also then sing two songs. But then the Facebook Live people will already have greeted us. Because we are playing some YouTube songs over here. You can find a link on the Facebook post. I've put it in this morning. But when I'm going to pray, it's between you and God. It's about his presence. And if I'm mentioning something, what at the moment is a problem in your life, speak to God about it. Even if it's necessary in the songs what we're singing afterwards, speak to God about it. God is inviting us this afternoon in his presence. And God is listening, as what God was listening to Isaac. And he opened up the womb of Rebecca, that something could happen. That today God wants to, that something is going to happen in our lives as well. And as I'm praying and as I'm mentioning those things, do business with God. Communicate with him. Mention it. That's what we're going to seek, his presence. We're going to react on that invitation, what he said. Come, draw near, and I will draw near to you. We're going to react on that. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you that it is about your presence. Adam and Eve walked away from the presence of you, Father, because they sinned. And as a result of that there's a distance between the two of us, Father. But Jesus is the solution to come back. And we thank you, Father. We thank you that you are continuously busy with trying to get us in your presence. And you want to be in our presence. And we thank you for that, Father. And if there's maybe somebody listening or looking at the moment and you feel that you're talking about God and you're talking about Jesus and you're talking about the Holy Spirit, but they are distant from me because I've never made that decision, then I'm inviting you to make that decision this afternoon, that you say, God, I want you to be my Father. Jesus, I want you to be my friend. I repent of the sins what I've done. And Holy Spirit, I want you to be my helper. And if you want to make such a type of a decision today, please make contact with me or with Renee, that we can pray along with you, that you can start walking with God, that you can move into His presence, that you can start having a relationship with Him. But God wants to speak to those people who've got certain things which are keeping them busy and which is distracting them from at the moment. Father, we move into your presence and we're listening to you, what you want to share with us this afternoon. And Father, I feel as there's anyone who feels at the moment that they are sick, that there's something which is bothering their physical working of their body. And I feel that God is saying, put your hand on that place where it is bothering at the moment, where it is creating pain or a discomfort. And I pray that God is going to heal you. Maybe it sounds for us people impossible, but then it becomes possible for God. That's why He's God. Father, I pray for healing. You can see the hands where they are at the moment, also from those people who are maybe looking at it afterwards or maybe listening to it afterwards. You know about it, Father. And I pray through the Holy Spirit that the people will be healed. That they will be healed, Father. If you've got a certain illness, if there's something which is bothering you at the moment in your body, put your hand over there. Bring it to God. Speak to God. Bring it to Him as what He is standing in front of you, as what you are in His presence. We moved into His presence. And say to Him, Father, I've got this illness. I've got this discomfort. I've got this pain. I'm asking for healing. Father, I pray for a healing for each and every person who reacted on your invitation to come in your presence and to be healed in the name of Jesus. If you feel that you've got a relationship with your husband or with your wife, which is not what it should be, then God is inviting you this afternoon to come into His presence and to bring it to Him. If there's something which is bothering you between you and your wife or you and your husband, mentioning it to God. Say, Lord, that's me. Lord, that's me. I'm in your presence now, Father. I'm bringing it to you. And Father, I pray, where we are maybe avoiding each other's presence at the moment, husband and wife, that it is going to be restored again, that we are going to be looking forward to be in each other's presence as when we got married. Father, I pray for that healing. How and what and where, I don't know, but it is possible with you, Father. I pray, Father, that there is going to be an eagerness again with both of them, that they want to be in each other's presence. And this is where the enemy wants to steal, that we can break it now in the name of Jesus Christ, that the enemy is not going to steal any longer, that there can be restoration again of that couple in the name of Jesus Christ. And if that's you, speak to God. Ask Him. You are in His presence now. Ask Him that relationship between your husband, between you and your wife, or between you and your husband, that it can be restored again in the name of Jesus. If you at the moment are unhappy at the workplace where you are, where it is very difficult for you to stand up in the morning and to go to work, or maybe you're working from home, but it's still difficult for you to stand up in the morning, I pray that you're going to bring that to God as well. Father, I pray, Lord, that this person or persons, Father, that they can speak to you directly because they are now in your presence, and that they can say, my work, Lord, it's difficult for me to go to work. And I pray, Lord, that the difficult thing is going to be turned around in being content. Being content because they know you've placed that person in that specific spot. And Father, I pray that you're going to reveal to that person why you've put that person in that specific place. And that the person will be content. And that the person can reflect your light at that place where the person is working. And that there will not be difficult to stand up in the morning. But there will be joy, joy in a person's life that he can stand up and can say, I'm a child of the Lord and I'm not going afraid of it. And I'm going to share it with whoever I've got to share it. And if the Holy Spirit stirs me, then I'm going to pray for somebody. I'm going to be what God wants me to be at the place where he placed me. Father, I pray for that turnaround, that that person hasn't got any problem to go to work anymore. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I also pray, Lord, for those people who feel at the moment who are alone, who are specifically in this time that they are, I nearly want to say, locked up in a room. They cannot move out for different reasons. And I pray, Father, that they can bring it to you as well, that they can say it as they are in your presence now, that they can say, Father, I'm feeling alone. And Father, I pray that you're going to fill that space where they are at the moment with your presence as what you filled the temple. You can read it in different places in the Old Testament. You filled the temple. And then the people were singing, Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of your glory. Father, I pray that that space will be filled up with your presence, that the person is not going to feel alone anymore. Because you are along with that person, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that there will be joy with that person. Because the relationship with you is most important. It's not about I'm alone. It's now about I'm a child of God. And he is with me wherever I go. He's always available. Thank you for that change in that person's life, Father. In the name of Jesus. I feel that there is also a person who says, but I would like to have a child. I'm not quite sure if it is one in the church or if it is somebody who is looking on Facebook Live or maybe even listening to the sermon afterwards. The same as what Isaac and Rebecca did. They went to you, Father. And I pray for this person or persons that they can go to you this afternoon and that they can pray for a child and that you will give them a child. When they need a child. And that they will know that a child is coming from you. Same as what you did with Sarah. The same as what you did with Rebecca. That you opened up the womb. Father, I pray that the womb will be opened up. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for person or persons where I feel or feeling alone because they're looking for a life partner. Father, I pray that they're first going to seek your presence because that's an eternal life partner. And once they've got the eternal life partner, that they will be content. And then you will show that person who's the life partner. That they're not going to be alone anymore. And if it's that you bring it to God, you're in his presence, say it to God, God, Father, I'm looking for a life partner. And Father, I pray that you're going to fill that open gap in that person's life, that there will be a life partner for that person, that they can be a husband, wife, as what you planned in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that for these few things where we spoke about now, that we could bring it to you in your presence. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we are continuously going to do that, that we're not going to keep quiet, but that we're going to seek your presence, and that we will bring whatever is in our lives, that we will bring it to you, that we can talk about it, That we don't have to worry about it, or what is actually that is maybe not big enough, or it is maybe too small, or anything like that. We always can bring it to you. You're always there to listen. That we always can bring it. And that we can pray, Lord, that there's going to be a change in situations. Thank you, Father, that these people could this afternoon move into your presence and do business with you. And I pray, Father, that as what we're going to listen to the two songs just now as well, Father, if there's anything which you want to reveal to them, that they can do that. That they can experience your presence, Father. Because if we've got your presence, if we experience your presence, nothing is too difficult. Everything can be done. There's no mountain too high in the name of Jesus. And Father, I also pray that if we are in your presence, Father, that you're going to show each and every one of us, if there's anything, what we're still busy with ungodly things, that you will reveal it to us and that we can cut it off in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can repent of it, that we can throw it away if it is a certain item, or that we can cut it in the spirit, that it will not have any effect on our lives anymore. That we can be in your presence and that we can experience freedom. Father, we're looking forward to that time that we can be with you in heaven forever and ever in your presence. But thank you, Father, that through Jesus Christ, that your presence is already starting now through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen.
When your spirit rushes in and a holy hush falls on us again, it is so far beyond a song. It's heaven on earth. With our hearts surrendered here, come and breathe on us and change the atmosphere.
This is the story of a son of God hanging on a cross for me. But it ends with a bride and groom and a wedding by a glassy sea. Oh, death, where is your sting? 'Cause I'll be there singing.
Thank you.
holy, holy is the Lord Almighty.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.